We're on? Okay. Great. Glad to have you here this morning. And for the ones of you that are here, welcome. The ones that are out there listening, sorry you can't be here. But as you know, we've got this virus going on, and they're limiting us to what we can do. But hopefully that's going to be over with very soon. One announcement I want to make is that Mitzi Robertson, our secretary, had contacted the session back in December or November, I'm not sure which, and asked that she wanted to retire. And so the session has now decided that right now is an opportune time for that to happen. And excuse me. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go to a volunteer position as far as the administrative secretary position in the church is concerned. So if you would like to be a part of that or volunteer to help in any manner as far as the administrative is concerned, please contact Walt or one of the session members. And we'd be happy to put you to work, okay? And as far as that, I think that's the only major announcement that we've got for today's service.
Thank you. Our choral call to worship this morning is number 308 in your hymnal. So those few of you that are able to be here, please turn there. We'll sing the fifth verse. And it reads this way: "The power that raised him from the grave now works in us to powerfully save. He frees our hearts to live his grace. Go tell of his goodness." Number 308.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you praising you and celebrating the fact that you have, in fact, risen. We ask, Lord, that you be with us during this time of worship, and especially during this time of turmoil in our country, Lord. We ask that you just protect us, guide us, direct us, and keep us safe. We ask also that you look over those who couldn't be in worship today. Help us to continue to keep our eye focused on the fact that you are risen, Lord, and we celebrate that fact. Forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 356. Number 356, "I Know Whom I Have Believed."
Thank you. It's always such a joy when we can sing hymns like that one, "I Know Whom I Have Believed." And this is primary for us today as we meet together, both here in person, a few of you here, and then also those who are listening over the internet. It's a great opportunity that we have to worship a living God rather than one who is made of wood or stone. And so we come to the Lord this day and remember those who are in special needs, those who are struggling with issues in their life right now and maybe with fear, and we want to put you at peace. This is something that the Lord has you covered with. He's covering you with his peace even in this moment. So let's bow as we pray together. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is for us to know that you've promised never to leave us nor forsake us, even in our direst moments, that Lord, you're right here with us. We thank you that you're here in this sanctuary today, that you're in the living rooms and homes of those who are listening. And we pray and ask, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, that you would bring your blessing, that you would remove any doubt in our minds and any fear from our hearts, that we can truly lift you up and proclaim you as Lord and as God. Father, I do pray for those who are struggling right now with any fear or with any anxiety over the issues that we face as a nation. Lord, you have this in your hands, and this doesn't come as a shock to you or a surprise to you. You've known all along what we'd be going through right now. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to stand firm and to place our trust and our faith in you as our Lord and as our Savior. Father, for those who are suffering from physical difficulties and problems, we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might attend to them and bring healing to them, that they wouldn't be in pain or in suffering at this time. Lord, for those who are troubled with financial problems right now, we ask that as our Jehovah Jireh, as the God who provides, that so, Lord, you would take care of these physical and financial needs. And again, we thank you, Lord, for our church. We thank you for Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church. Thank you for every member, for each person who attends. Lord, we ask and pray that you would bring us back together soon, that we could worship you together as a family, as a church family. And Father, for those who are in those positions of power and authority, we ask that you would move in their hearts and that you would bring them to the conclusion that it's time to reopen our economy. It's time for our churches to come back together again and to meet, that we might worship you together. We thank you again for your love and for your mercy and ask for your presence to be with us today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The day is almost gone. Still darkness falls all around us, and we must journey on. The darkest hour is just before dawn. The narrow way leads home. Lay down your soul at Jesus' feet. The darkest hour is just before dawn.
A shepherd out on a mountain, a watching the sheep down below,
He's coming back to claim us. Will you be ready to go? The darkest hour is just before dawn. The narrow way leads on. Lay down your soul at Jesus' feet. The darkest hour is just before dawn. The darkest hour is just before dawn.
Thank you. I had to change hats right there. You know, truly, this is the darkest hour before the dawn. We believe that the dawn is on its way, that Jesus, our Lord, is going to bring it, and we're excited and thankful to Him. If you have your Bibles right there with you, please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading. This is found in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 10, reading verses 22 to 30. This is John chapter 10. Reading verses 22 to 30, and hear now the word of God. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Because I and the Father are one." And may God add to our understanding this portion from His holy word. You know, a few years ago, we had a telephone call from our daughter who lives in Colorado. And she told us about something that had happened that day that was terrifying for us and yet showed the gracious hand of God. Her little daughter, Julia, had run out their driveway. It's a very long driveway out to the main road. And she was, as Sarah looked out the window, she could see Julia running along this dirt driveway heading out toward the main road. And at the same time, she saw a UPS truck that turned into the driveway and was heading toward her. And she was terrified and ran out the door and started screaming for her daughter, "Julia, Julia." And there was a lot of noise around, and it was very hard for her daughter to hear. But suddenly, her daughter stopped and looked, turned around and looked. And her mother said, "Get off the road." And immediately, she got off of the driveway, and the truck went right by. The truck driver couldn't see her. She was so small. But she responded to her mother's voice. She recognized her mother's voice over all of the noise and everything that was going on. She heard her mother's voice, and she obeyed. You know, we live in a world of noise. There's noise all around us. Our cell phones, our computers, our TVs, our headphones. It seems like constantly we have noise. In fact, there are people that keep the television on all day long just so that it'll provide some kind of noise in the background because they can't stand the quiet. And so we've grown accustomed to having all this noise coming at us at the same time, and everything seems to be competing for our attention. Either it's louder or it's stronger. Spend a little time around some teenagers and watch what's happening. They're on their telephones, their fingers are moving a mile a minute, and they've got music going somewhere. Some kind of music is playing, because that's the way life is being lived. If you have teenage grandchildren or children, you know that they have a difficult time doing their homework unless there's some music station playing in the background. They have to have that music. There has to be some kind of sound and noise, and all these things are competing for their attention. And the truth is, in order for us to understand the direction that we have in life, we have to quiet our own hearts, quiet ourselves before the Lord. The importance of solitude in the life of a believer can't be underestimated. Sometimes people call it a quiet time. There has to be some time when we can get away from the noise of this world and just focus on Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior and speak to Him and call on His name. Just some time to be quiet before the Lord. We train ourselves to focus on Him and to be able to differentiate between His voice and the many other voices that are vying for our attention. So many times we're able to tune out what other people say. And some of you may be familiar with that Geico commercial that used to be on television for a while. And this husband is sitting in a chair and he's totally absorbed in the television show he's watching, probably a football game. And his wife comes in and she says, "Honey, does this dress make me look fat?" And he says, "Oh yeah, oh yeah." Yeah, not the right answer right then. You know, but there's some things that are just too important for us to tune out. You know, somebody asked Tom Brady the reason for his success as a quarterback with the New England Patriots. Now, I know that he's not with them anymore. He's moved on. But when he was the Super Bowl winner, the Super Bowl quarterback year after year, somebody said, how are you able to move your team the way that you do? And he said, "My team has learned to trust my voice." He said, "When we get together and we huddle and I call a play, they've learned to listen to what I'm saying. And that's why we're able to function together as a team." Well, you know, this is what Jesus said when he was speaking to his followers and his disciples. And he spoke to the Pharisees and he said, "My sheep hear my voice." This is in verse 27, John 10, 27. "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." He's saying, "My sheep have been able to differentiate between all the voices of the world that are crying out to them, and they've learned to concentrate and focus on my voice and do what I'm commanding them to do. They hear and they obey. They follow me. They follow in my steps." You know, we have questions that arise because of that, like, well, where are we talking about? When? How? Well, where do we hear the voice of the Lord? We could hear it anywhere. We could hear it at the grocery store. We could hear it at the gas station. We could hear it at work. We could hear it anywhere. The Lord speaking to us in our hearts. Haven't you ever been in a situation where you meet somebody in the store or at school or wherever, and you feel like the Lord is tugging your heart, saying, "You need to talk to them. Speak to them. They're in need. Talk to them." Well, the Lord can do that at any time as He touches us on the shoulder and gives us direction for life. And when? Well, that could be at any time, at any moment. It could be early, it could be late, midday, it could be any time. And how? How does the Lord do that? It's different in every situation, every circumstance. But I'll bet if we took a poll, people could tell us, well, this is how God spoke to me in that moment. In that moment of need, when I needed to hear from Him, this is how He spoke to me. This is what He said. But you know, so many times it's not so much when or where or how, but it's what. What is He telling us to do? You know, when Jesus said that He was the shepherd and they were His sheep, he was talking there about a very special kind of relationship. the relationship that a shepherd had with his sheep. And because it was an agrarian culture at that time, that many of the people could very easily understand what Jesus meant when he talked about the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd, in order to lead his sheep, had to earn their confidence. You know, sheep won't just follow anyone. And if you've ever been in a country setting or you've seen sheep and a shepherd, you know that as the shepherd walks along, the sheep line up behind him. They follow after him, and he's able to give them commands, and they obey his commands. And that comes over time. It comes as a result of developing trust with those sheep. They know that the shepherd has their best interest at heart, and so they will follow. They'll listen. They'll do what he wants. Well, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And he said, "My sheep listen to my voice." Well, you know, there are many false shepherds out there. There are many people that claim to be shepherds, God's shepherds, who are misleading their flocks. In fact, a good portion of the New Testament, as we've been studying in our Bible study, and hopefully that'll begin again as soon as possible, but as we look at those books and study those, we see how many warnings there are against the false shepherds of Israel, those that would mislead the people for their own purposes and their own reasons. Many times it's for financial gain. But they follow these false shepherds and lead them. Well, Jesus said, "My sheep, listen to my voice." They follow my voice because I know them. You know, this is the very opposite of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He said, "Many will come to me on that day saying, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we do many miracles in your name and cast out demons and gave all these things?'" Jesus said, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You claimed to know me, but you never had a relationship with me, and you did not hear my voice. You didn't follow after me." Jesus said, "My sheep follow me because they know me." When Jesus was speaking to his disciples, Matthew chapter 26, verses 24 and 25, he said this. Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." This is coming from the good shepherd, from the one who wants the best for his sheep. So Jesus speaks about this relationship, that we have to have this kind of relationship with him in order to hear his voice. He also speaks about reassurance, and that's the fact that "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He reassures them that because they were redeemed, they were bought again, bought back by his own blood, that he would never turn away from them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says this, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." There's a reassurance there that because you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake us. It's not a promise that's based on works. It's not a promise that's based on how good we are or how perfectly we've kept God's law. It's about grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And he also says this. He says, "Because I'm in this relationship with you, I'm giving you the reassurance that no one will ever snatch us away. No one ever can." We read verses 28 and 29. He says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Do you realize in this passage right here, Jesus speaks about two different safeguards that we have against being snatched away by this world or the things of this world? He says that no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. But look at verse 29. He says, "My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." not only will we be caught by Jesus, we'll also be caught by the hand of our Heavenly Father who preserves us and protects us. You know, years ago when I taught a Bible study to young people, teenagers who were in a home for delinquents, and there was one young girl there by the name of Holly. And Holly showed up one night at our Bible study, and we could tell right away that she wasn't her of herself. She was high on drugs. We found out later it was heroin. And as she sat there and listened to the Bible study, she came up to me afterwards and said, I really like what you had to say, and I'm going to come back again. And I said, great. And the next week she was there, and the week after that, and I had the opportunity to lead Holly into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And she told me, after she had prayed to receive Christ into her heart, she told me, that first night when I came to your Bible study, I had already made up my mind that I was going to end my life. I knew how I was going to do it. I knew when I was going to do it. And she said, I felt that I would give God one chance, that I would go. Her friends had been inviting her to this Bible study. She said, I will go to this Bible study and I will give God one chance. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to end my life. And so she came to that Bible study, and that was the night that God chose to open up her heart to His Holy Spirit, that she would give her life to Him. And Holly was a great joy. She brought many of her drug friends to Jesus during the time that remained that I knew her. Some years later, she moved away, and some years later, I had the opportunity to speak with her. And she said, you know, it's not been easy, it's been very hard, but something that I've realized is that when you fall out of God's right hand, He catches you with His left. And I thought, boy, that is so true. And spoken from the heart of a person that was in rebellion to God, and God redeemed, brought him back. So Jesus speaks about reassurance, but He also speaks about restoration. Jesus, as our Savior, shows Himself to be in two different ways our Savior. And we've spoken about this before, but the two words that are used in the Greek New Testament are the words soterion and the word sozo. Both of them are translated salvation or Savior. And the word soterion has to do with setting the captives free. It's a legal term that basically means that Jesus pays the price and people are saved through the work that Jesus had done. But the other word is the word sozo. And that word, literally translated, means mending the broken pieces, putting the broken pieces of our lives back together again. And this is the word that's used when the angel said, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. You see, this is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd sees the brokenness of our lives, the brokenness of our homes, the brokenness of our hearts. And He puts the pieces back together again. But even beyond this, He gives us eternal life. We're told in Scripture that because He first loved us, we're able to love. His great mercy and His willingness to forgive us and to bring us into His family. How great a love the Father has for us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. Favorite verse of so many people, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. You know, we're hearing many voices today, many voices crying out to us. And they're all claiming to be experts. It seems that all they want to tell us is what we can do and what we can't do in our society. But through all of this, can we quiet our hearts and hear the voice of our Shepherd? Can we hear what He's telling us to do during this time of lockdown, during this time when people are in fear and in panic over what might happen to them? God is sovereign. He's sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over COVID-19. He's sovereign over who will contract this virus and who will not. It's in His hands. And yet we live in fear that somehow something is going to snatch me out. No, it will not. Nothing will ever snatch you out of the hand of God. This is a time when it's essential that we draw near to God, because He alone will lead us as a shepherd leads his sheep. No matter how powerful our enemy, no one and nothing will ever snatch us out of His hand. Be at peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Him. Let's bow as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that we do have an all-powerful and all-sovereign God who loves us, who watches over us as a shepherd watches over his sheep. We thank you and we praise you that we place our trust in you, that you will never leave us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now, those of you who are here, would you turn in your hymnal to number 403? 403. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Before I give the benediction, let me once again say how much we miss everyone and how we long to have everyone back here together that we can worship the Lord as a congregation of believers. Please pray for that to happen. Pray that it comes quickly. Please bow now for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love Him. Amen.